This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit graftonloadingdock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Let me turn to the focus of today's hearing. Mr. Secretary, the execution of the U.S. withdrawal was clearly and fatally flawed. This committee expects to receive a full explanation of the administration's decisions on Afghanistan since coming into office last January. There has to be accountability.
That's Senator Menendez, Robert Menendez, from New Jersey. Yes, a Democrat saying that this mission was fatally flawed. Interesting to hear the other side speaking in those kinds of terms, isn't it? Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday. The sheet in front of me says Tuesday, so make it so. Thank you for putting that on there. I appreciate that.
I did that specifically this morning because I was like, I hope she knows the day of the week. And if she doesn't, I'm going to put it on here.
Otherwise, the date's always on there. I will have to just be like, happy September 14th, folks, which is probably because everybody else probably knows what day it is. They don't know what the date is. Anyway, it's Tuesday and the Blinken testimony is still going on. I cannot hear Antony Blinken's name and not think of Robin Hood Men in Tights and think of Blinken from Men in Tights. And ironically, because that man is blind, I feel in my head that maybe Blinken from Men in Tights is actually running the country in this capacity. It's kind of a tragedy to hear. Are you guys paying attention to this testimony, Brad? Have you been like just riveted, connected to your television and radio to hear what's going on next?
I've been more paying attention to my Twitter feed and seeing what that comes up. And whenever stuff pops up on my Twitter feed, I have a pretty good idea of whether it's like kind of a big deal or just kind of nothing. But some of my Twitter feed's nothing. But so I've been listening to clips, but not necessarily just watching it. That's kind of boring to me, but that's why we're here, right? To watch it for other people.
Sure.
And so they don't have to.
100%. Trisha, what do you think?
I don't know. I was hoping you'd have something for me.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, that's the sentiment that's going around. I've tuned in, I've listened, and in very predictable fashion, we know how this goes. When the Democrats talk, it's about Donald Trump. It's about what was handed over to this administration. Let's go back to what Senator Menendez just said here. This was flawed. This was a flawed mission. There is blood on the hands of the people who chose to go into this mission. 13 souls perished because of their inept ability to make sure that this was a safe and secure mission. And the only thing that matters in this hearing is who's to blame. I guess maybe that's what a hearing is for. Maybe that's not even to be criticized, except for the fact that they spend the entire time, if you're a Democrat talking about what was brought to the table from the previous administration And the Republicans, when they're asking questions, they tend to ask questions that have nothing to do with the content of the actual testimony, which is stuff I'm interested in. But it's just like, why are we here? What are we doing? Do you remember, Trisha, do you remember covering the Supreme Court nomination, the Kavanaugh stuff,
mm-hmm.
Amy Coney Barrett, watching all of this stuff unfold? Impeachments, two impeachments.
Yep.
I'm just kind of tired of the politicians getting on in front of cameras and in you know, nonstop coverage where every American person, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, you see what happened in Afghanistan. You're not smart enough to know the details of the mission and why it went bad, but you know it went bad. And you're not stupid. They need you to be dumb. They need you to watch what's going on. All the politicians are pandering. Both sides. You know what happened. You're capable of doing the math with 13 lives lost. And as we've heard from several guests that we've had on the show, who gets the military out first? Since when is that the standard operating procedure when you're going to exit a country that you've been in for 20 years? When does the military leave first? It's maddening to see with your own two eyes. And if you're me, the few brain cells that you have to rub together and look at this and be able to go, this didn't go well. Senator Menendez said that. But yet when we go into this hearing, it's just ping pong back and forth between the two parties, making sure that whoever hears the D talking, you understand that this is Donald Trump's fault. Whoever hears the R talking, you know, every negligence and corner cut by the Democratic side of the aisle. Why? For the next election. We don't have until 2022 or 2024 to not make ignorant decisions that cost American lives. We don't have the ability to only ever be in campaign mode. There's bloodshed, people, and you know it. We know it. We see it. We're very, very tired of it. That's the sentiment that I see the most right now with the American people. COVID is doing it to us. Mandates are doing it to us. Local rules and laws, and they're not even laws, people. Requests with a little extra force. These types of things are exhausting the American people, and it is a hard task to be in tune with the news on a daily basis. And a lot of people are stepping out of it. And when they step out of it, what ends up happening? They run into it everywhere they go. The mask mandates. You've got business owners who are putting up signs on both sides of the river saying, please wear a mask because of the governor's mandate. You know what? Whether or not you want to wear a mask, that business owner is in a really, really tough spot. They've got 50% of their patronage that wouldn't shop in their place of business, their restaurant, their store, if people aren't wearing masks. And the other 50% wouldn't go in if people are wearing masks. And the business owner there, regardless of what their own personal opinions are on the issue, has to stay afloat. And they've got to stay afloat with a staff that's cut in half, with people who are seeing this sign on the door or no sign on the door and having a problem with any decision that they make. And they're trying to make it so that the few employees that they do have that show up to work can continue to feed themselves and their families. This is hard stuff. We are stuck in a place where we have to make tough political decisions on a regular basis. And on top of that, whatever decision we make is going to anger people in our lives that we've never met, and also people who we've known our entire existence. It's hard. And then we have this Blinken testimony. Again, I'm just thinking about Robin Hood Men in Tights. I could sing the whole song right now, but I'll spare you. We have this testimony about something that is extremely weighty in magnitude. And it's a political campaign. If you're the Republican, it's time to be in front of the camera and say your thing and really try to, I hope I get my soundbite on all of the talk shows and on the cable news. If you're the Democrat, you're thinking the same thing. And at the end, does anything change? Is anybody going to be held accountable? We cannot rely on the people who we've elected to hold these people accountable at this point in time. We're going to have Paris Denard on at 1 o'clock, and he's the national spokesperson for the RNC. And I've said this several times on Twitter. You can follow me at Annie Fry Show. I've seen a lot of you saying this on Twitter. A little less conversation and a little more action. It's time that we stop being mad as hell, and we need to get to the point where we actually aren't going to take it anymore. What are we going to do to push back on tyrannical leadership, on these mandating Democrats who actually believe that you're too stupid to run your own life? And they try to sell it to you by suggesting that they're being caring and compassionate, by forcing everybody to live an existence that they deem to be correct, that they deem to be the most appropriate. Guess what? We've been raising ourselves, our own children. We've been taking care of ourselves in this country for a really long time. I've been raising children for 11 and a half years. I haven't had the government come in and tell me that I have to do anything for my children. The closest thing that I can think of is buckling seatbelts in a car. That's the closest thing that I can think of in conjunction with what they're trying to do with vaccines. I have a lot more history and a lot more experience of seeing the production that safety belt wearing will do for my child compared to not wearing the seatbelt in the car. It's not a brand new concept. It's not a brand new idea. It's tried and true. And if a parent is apprehensive about what this government is suggesting that you should do for your child, to some sort of medical procedure, if a parent is apprehensive, they should have the right, because the parent knows what's best for that child. The parent, if we're doing this right, if we're investing in family, if the family unit and keeping that family unit together is going to be the most successful thing we can do to raising a cared for, a loved, and an educated generation that can come of age and do the same thing for their kids. Nobody loves my kids like my husband and I do. That's by design. That's something to uphold. That's something to invest in. I am so tired of hearing these politicians, always on the left, talking about our children. Come again? Excuse me? There are two people involved in the existence of my children, and you are not one of them. I work my tail off to provide for them. My husband works his tail off to provide for them. We would give our lives for them. Can I say the same thing about the government officials who are in some fancy office in Washington, D.C. or in some state capital somewhere? Are they going to give their lives for the existence of my child? No, they probably wouldn't, because they probably think they need to remain where they are for the betterment of somebody else's kids, probably their own. The family unit is being destroyed by progressivism. Freedom of choice, real actual choice to make the best decision for yourself, because God forbid you know what's best for you. And here's the really cold, hard truth, folks. You could make the wrong decision for you, but you have that right. Nothing is consequence-free. Nothing is risk-free. It never has been. There's never been a promise in the foundational existence of the United States of America that somebody is out there to protect you from the consequences of your own actions. That's actually a very key point of why we get to be who we are. We get to take risks, we get to fail, and we get to take more risks after we failed. There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of the process. And the second the government comes in and promises you to be your safety net around every turn, people quit taking risks. And if people in this country quit taking risks, we don't continue to be the same country that we've been in the past. This is a slippery slope that I am curious, maybe we're already on. We're going to take a quick break here. Ira Melman is going to join us when we come back. He's the media director for the Federation for American Immigration. And I'm going to talk to him about the Blinken testimony I'm going to talk to him about vaccine mandates. How does he feel about an open border where people can come here and they don't have to get vaccinated? But in Los Angeles, if you're in the school district in Los Angeles, you will be required to vaccinate your 12-year-old kid. We are living in crazy times, which makes sense when Blinken from Robin Hood Men in Tights is running the country. I just didn't know that. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Can you run and feel all right? We'll feel all right, because we'll work it out. Yeah, we'll work it out.
Did we have a plan to get Americans from all over Afghanistan to Kabul and out in an orderly way? How meticulous was the planning for the Trump administration declared May 1st withdrawal?
Well, thank you, Congressman. We inherited a deadline. We did not inherit a plan.
So, okay, that's Antony Blinken talking, saying we inherited a deadline, not a plan. I've heard a lot of people who we've had come on the show previously who have said, regarding the economy, regarding the situation in Afghanistan, regarding immigration and the southern border, all they had to do was keep doing what the Trump administration had put in place, and we wouldn't be in this particular situation. And it seems as though the Biden administration has looked to do the antithesis of what the Trump administration had put in plan on a regular basis. It's almost as if the Biden policy is just to do the opposite of what President Trump did. And I challenge you, look around. Look at the different policies. Look at the different categories of topics that I could talk to you on any particular day. How many situations are we doing better in than we were before? Yeah, I'll sit here and wait. Let's ask Ira Melman. He is the media director for the Federation for American Immigration, and he is on with us right now. You can check him out at fairus.org. Ira, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. From an immigration standpoint, I can't think of many examples that are more egregious than what this Biden administration has done in the wake of what was given to them by the Trump administration. I think that in conjunction with what's going on in Afghanistan, there seems to be a pattern here.
There absolutely is. Look, they had an effective plan down at the border. The Remain in Mexico policy was working. It had discouraged a lot of people from abusing our asylum process. A lot fewer people came to the border. No sooner did President Biden take office, he canceled that. He reinstated catch and release. He made it clear that we weren't going to deport people. All of these things triggered the crisis at the border. So now for Anthony Blinken to suddenly claim that, you know, their hands were tied by the previous administration on policies in Afghanistan simply doesn't hold water. You know, they could have changed the plan. They could have recognized that the Taliban was not abiding by the agreement entered into with the Trump administration and said, you know what, the Taliban has backed off of their end of the bargain. We're going to back off of our end of the bargain. They didn't do that. And just because they didn't inherit a plan for getting people out doesn't absolve them of their responsibility to create one. They had time to create one. You know, the president just got people out of there, our troops out of there as quickly as possible. He didn't have any concern about what was going to happen in the aftermath. And not only did he leave behind the Afghans who actually helped us during the 20 years that we were there, he handed the Taliban a list of these people and said, you know, can you please give them a ride to the airport? So, you know, now these people are being targeted by the Taliban. They are worse off than if he had just ignored them and left without saying a word. So in every respect, this administration has failed at the border. They failed to do their responsibility towards the American citizens and the special immigrant Afghans who were there. They just left everybody on their own, and they cut and ran, and now they're trying to pin it on everybody else.
So we're speaking with Ira Melman. He is with Fair Immigration. I want to ask you a different question. We were talking previously about how this testimony that's taking place right now, when you listen to Blinken speaking here, you go back and forth between Republican and Democrat, and it's basically a blame game. And a lot of Trump is coming up when the Democrats are talking. We did hear Senator Menendez say that this was flawed. So there is an admission that something went wrong. If they didn't inherit a plan and they formulated their own, which, you know, by definition of saying we didn't have a plan here, that means that they had to formulate their own. How can they argue that it isn't flawed, that the loss of these 13 individuals isn't a tragic, tragic event that should have been prevented? How do they not own that?
Well, you know, the president doesn't seem to want to own very much. You know, he keeps claiming that this is a great success, that, you know, he fulfilled his campaign promise. You know, he did promise to get us out of Afghanistan. He didn't promise to create an absolute disaster there, a foreign policy disaster, a national security disaster, a humanitarian disaster. You know, that doesn't exactly comport with what he promised the American public. He said he was going to end our involvement in the war, not create a whole host of new problems there. So, you know, this president refuses to take responsibility. He still hasn't conceded the fact that the border being out of control is a result of the policies that he implemented. You know, that they seem to be living in their own little fantasy world there. The American public apparently thinks differently.
So, Ira, you know, I want to ask you about the southern border. We've seen the president apparently put Kamala Harris in charge. I don't know if she's aware that she's in charge of the southern border, of fixing whatever problem is in there. She certainly isn't doing anything. I'm curious of your thoughts of this overreaching mandate that President Biden came down with last Thursday. I think it was Thursday. The requirement of Americans to get vaccinated, saying his patience is growing thin with the American people. Yet if I go from the Mexican border, Mexican side of the border, to the United States side of the southern border, I come here, it doesn't seem like I have much requirements at all. And certainly the president's administration seems to have a lot of patience with what's taking place down there.
They do. And, you know, they have no inclination to change these policies. You know, the numbers come out every month. They get worse and worse in terms of the number of people coming across, the conditions that they are holding people in. And even if they're just temporarily in these facilities, is abhorrent. It is a disgrace to the country. And he is under a court order to restore some of the policies that he inherited. A judge has said that he could not simply on his own cancel the Remain in Mexico policy. They're going to be slow walking this. I bet, you know, I can guarantee you they are not in any hurry to comply with the judge's order. Another judge said you simply cannot decide you're not going to enforce any immigration laws, that executive discretion does not extend to just not enforcing laws at all, because essentially that's nullification. So all of these things have been put before him, but there doesn't seem to be any haste on the part of the administration to implement policies or to get that border under control. And right now, you know, they are busy working in Congress to try to get an amnesty put into this massive $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, which is not really infrastructure. So, you know, they are just working overtime to destroy the immigration infrastructure of the United States. The border, the ability to remove people once they're here. Basically, what they want is open borders and a rolling amnesty, and that's what they're going to pursue, whatever the cost.
Ira Melman joining us right now, the media director for Federation for American Immigration Reform. So I'm going to ask you a question that I think a lot of people are asking themselves right now. I'm not seeing a lot of leadership from Joe Biden himself, the president of the United States. It seems as though the policies that are being put into place, or the policies of the past that are being taken out of commission, they seem to be explained to us a few days after said event occurs by the president in a written speech where he won't take questions. My question to you, Ira, is where are these policies coming from? Is Joe Biden the guy, or is he just the spokesman?
You know, the policies, I guess, are coming from the cue cards they hand him before he goes out there. Look, I mean, he appointed the people who have been part of the amnesty lobby for years to key positions in his administration. They are the ones who are making the policy. He goes out there with the instructions that he's been given. I mean, you've heard him say countless times, you know, I'm going to get myself into trouble if I talk about any of this stuff.
Right.
So it is, you know, even from his own lips, he's making it clear that, you know, these policies are being formulated by other people in his administration, and he has to take responsibility. He appointed these folks. So it seems that, you know, the foxes are in charge of the hen house here. The advocates for mass illegal immigration, for amnesty, they are the ones running the show right now. And they're just going for broke. They understand that they've got, you know, a little over a year left where they're going to be in full control of the federal government, and they're just going for it. You know, it's all the chips are on the table, and they're just going to try whatever they can.
Ira, you know, I was talking a little bit earlier in the show, not specifically on these, you know, big issues like immigration and what took place in Afghanistan, but it is a really, really hard thing right now for regular Americans to go through their day and not be, every time they turn a corner, you know, faced with some sort of decision that essentially has political implications. Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? Do you get the vaccine? Do you tell people you got the vaccine? Do you not get the vaccine? I mean, everywhere you go, this is seeping into our regular lives. I wanted to ask you about, you know, I've heard a lot about what Texas is doing regarding the immigration crisis on our southern border. It seems to me that people are starting to take matters into their own hands, that more local government is taking action because they don't see action appropriately coming from the federal government to protect people in their very own homes. We've seen action from the Missouri Attorney General about the massive negligence on immigration issues that are affecting us right here in the heartland of the country. What are you seeing from these border states? What kind of actions are they taking in the wake of an absence of action from the federal government?
Well, they're doing the best they can. You know, they're sticking their fingers in the dikes. There's only so much that state and local governments can do. Texas has put its own law enforcement officers down near the border to serve as a backup. They cannot arrest people for being in the country illegally, but they can arrest them for trespassing. They can make sure that, you know, people who come into the country illegally and commit subsequent crimes are picked up. You know, they try to turn them over to ICE. In some cases, ICE takes them. In other cases, they don't. But, you know, they're doing what they can in the absence of any leadership from the executive branch of the federal government. And and this is both good and bad. I mean, you have states like Texas that are at least contributing in a positive way, but we saw in the last administration precisely the opposite, where you had states that disagreed with the fact that the Trump administration was actually enforcing immigration laws, and they took steps to thwart the enforcement of these laws. And, you know, every week they were going into court suing the Trump administration over something. So, you know, we need to have a rational immigration policy, a clear message about what it is we hope to accomplish, and make sure that the rules are applied to everybody. And so we don't have to have these various states each deciding, I don't like what is coming out of the White House this week, so I'm just going to go ahead and do my own thing. That is a prescription for disaster.
Ira Melman, thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it. This immigration concern, the southern border concern, has been a consistent concern for multiple administrations at this point. It still is, but it just seems like sometimes it takes the back burner because of all the other fires that we're trying to put out in other arenas. So we thank you for bringing this to our attention and talking to us about it today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon. Ira Melman, who is the media director with the Federation for American Immigration Reform. If you want to learn more about what they're doing, a lot of good, attentive work at fairus.org. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America. And as I said, Paris Denard from the RNC at 1 o'clock, he's going to come on here. And I'm going to say, I know we're all ticked off about how things are going right now, but Paris, you're the national spokesperson for the RNC. What are we doing about it? And how can somebody who's incredibly disenchanted with the way of the world right now help that process? And then Mark Cox at 1:25. He's going to talk to us about the Missouri Senate race and how you can be more informed about that. And Thursday, we lay to rest Jared Schmitz here in the St. Louis area. He is going to be on top of that coverage the entire time. And we're going to talk to you about that at 1:25. Wiggins America, again, when we come back. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start.
You know, while the Met is known for its spectacle, we should have a conversation about it.
Steve Forbes, your thoughts.
where does one begin when you put graffiti on a very good dress? And she forgets already, top 1%, top 5% pay most of the income taxes in this country.
So the Met Gala, gala,
both.
Really?
Let's say gala. I don't want to do too much here because this is, in fact, Wiggins America. Let's hit it.
Wiggins, oh, Wiggins.
My favorite tropical music. Coconuts
too,
and a straw to drink my ice water out of.
Well, if it's tropical, then it's gala. If it's Western, then it's gala.
Oh, okay. That's not fair.
I don't care. I know every time I say it, like, if you ever hear me just saying that on the air in context, I will always hesitate before. And whatever I say after that, all I'll be thinking is, how am I supposed to say that?
No, I'm with you. Wait, Caribbean or Caribbean?
Ooh. It really kind of depends on what you're saying, but I default it to Caribbean. I think it sounds more fun.
Caramel or caramel?
That's easy. It's caramel.
We've had that discussion, caramel. Haven't we?
Get out of here.
Sorry.
Caramel. So I have a personal reason for calling it caramel.
Okay.
Because my father, whose mother is from Australia, had a sister, so it was my dad's aunt, my great aunt, whose name was Carmel.
Her name was Carmel?
Mm-hmm. Carmel. Huh. Caramel, what you eat is Caramel. Not always, but most of the time. So it's caramel.
I like the name Carmel now.
There you go.
I need to have another baby to catch up with you.
You better call your wife.
I will. Katie, we're having a caramel. All right.
Come again.
So you opened up with the famous now dress of AOC yet last night. I can't believe, I mean, I saw that and I couldn't believe that she would do that as a politician because the criticisms of that are so easy. I mean, the first thing everybody goes was, how much was it to get in there, AOC?
$30K.
So you spend $30K to get into the gala. And
gala. Or the gala.
And
do you remember when she went to Washington, D.C., and there was like a big story that she couldn't afford an apartment?
Yes.
In New York City?
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's a politician, she's at the friggin' Met Gala.
Yes. Which, of course, I mean, it's easy to criticize everything that she does and says. I mean, I looked up some of the stats on that just
yes,
alone.
It is.
If you make $150,000 or more, mm-hmm. you are among the top 10% of earners in the
You're
entire
wealthy.
United States. And you are paying, if you are above $150,000, you and everybody in that top 10% are paying 71% of all income taxes in the United States.
So what the summation of Wiggins America is, he wants to wear a dress that says tax the poor.
Yes. Actually,
yeah. I would like to see that too, for what it's
well,
worth.
Well, that, but my gala would look different
it.
Too.
Gala.
My gala would look different. It would be among the salt of the earth people, and we wouldn't be talking about taxing each other.
You'd be wearing tank tops that say tax the other people.
Or
tax
or,
somebody else.
It just says tax them.
Yeah. If it's a pool party, no shirts at all. No shirts required for my gala.
Chest paint.
Yes. Exactly.
And your partner, whoever you get partnered up with, gets to paint their message on your chest.
What's amazing is that none of this is even the point of my Wiggins America today.
Oh,
so
you still have
we still
eight
got a
minutes.
Few minutes, right? We yeah. can get there. So pronounce this name right for me. Cara Delevingne. Is that correct?
Who is this?
Anybody in the room? No?
No,
are you
I would
kidding
say
me?
I would say it's Cara.
Cara Delevingne?
I don't know who this person
I think
it's
Dela, Delevue.
Who is it?
Did you see the Suicide Squad?
I'm
if you didn't see the Suicide Squad,
not
Suicide Squad,
to
you
pop
wouldn't
culture.
Know.
No.
Well, she's been in a lot though. Right. She was the bad guy in that. That was probably right. one of her biggest roles. But she's been in a ton of stuff. She's pretty young. She's a popular actress now. She's
not
in
not that popular.
One of every 10 films that Annie doesn't see.
Which is 10 out of 10 films that
but
I don't
see. But she's pretty
is it animated?
Yeah, I don't,
did it come
Suicide
out three
Squad?
Years ago? And have I seen it 4,000 times?
Disney Plus.
Yeah,
it's not. It's a Warner Brothers. It's DC, so no. It's outside of your purview.
I'm not allowed to watch this.
Yeah, that's right, and especially not those Suicide
okay,
Squad.
What about
are
this chick? Though?
Well, anyway, she shows up last night. She's wearing a shirt that says "Peg the
Patriarchy."
Right?
I saw her. I know the outfit. I don't know who she is.
Okay, so she's pretty famous now, especially because of that. Apparently, somebody put together
a
list of all of her relatives who are just the definition of the patriarchy, which is how she got famous. I mean, we're talking about Joan Collins, all these different government leaders, very British government leaders, apparently. Lady-in-waiting Princess Margaret, she's related to.
You know what that just reminded me of? Do you remember when Brexit was going on and you did a report about breakfast?
I just ran across that yesterday.
All I
yes.
remember is you were in this thing, because it was totally goofy, but in the background you're going, fish and chips.
Oh, yeah, because I had to provide the crowd noise, too.
We should find that for the 2 o'clock hour.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's
the whole
saying
thing.
British things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fish and chips.
Bobbies instead of police.
Yeah,
like
every time
saying
I
things like that.
See fish and chips anywhere, I just think, fish and chips. I hate it. How's yeah. this in my head?
Well, this is
America.
Yeah, this is growing great.
I'm taking over Great Britain now.
That's right.
This is expanding.
So last night, I mean, it was just a parade of hypocrisy. These people, it was unbelievable to watch. And there was multiple of them. Debbie Harry's wearing a torn up American flag shirt. And the theme was America. So, of course, everybody who shows up is trashing America right after 9/11. Very good look there. And then, you know, if you saw Rose McGowan over the weekend, she came out and slammed these very people and made all kinds of connections in that speech, which got no attention at all because it's trashing all the people who have all the levers of power in the United States. But she said that Gavin Newsom's wife, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, tried to bribe her in an attempt to hush her 2017 sexual assault accusations against Harvey Weinstein, and then brought up the fact that Obama's daughters were interns with the Weinstein Company and was like, everything connected. All these people are connected. And it was just on such display last night, watching them say things like tax the rich. And it's so disconnected from the rest of the entire country. Yet we somehow look at these people as idols. For
Let
some
me
reason.
Ask you this. Have you ever known in real life, I'm going to ask the whole room, Ryan, have you ever known in real life an actual narcissist? Have you ever experienced up front an actual narcissist? Trisha?
I believe so.
Brad?
No one diagnosed, but a couple names do come to mind.
Narcissism. excessive interest or in or admiration of oneself and one's physical appearance. Selfishness involving a sense of entitlement, a lack of empathy, and a need for admiration as characterizing a personality type. Self-centeredness arising from failure to distinguish the self from external objects, either in very young babies or as a feature of mental disorder. These people are not dumb. They are not hypocrites. They are mentally disordered narcissists. They look at themselves as a marketable entity that is so important for you to consume, and they have no self-awareness. When you see AOC wearing a Tax the Rich dress, which my biggest problem with it is that it was ugly.
Yeah,
it wasn't even pretty.
You're right.
I mean, the dress, if it wouldn't have had the what looked like graffiti on it, I wouldn't have been like, that is an offensive, ugly dress. But the way they did it, I'm like, that's not even like on Project Runway, you'd be out. Tim Gunn would not be okay with that, and he would tell you to make it work. It didn't work. They are narcissists. They are so obsessed with themselves that they grace you with their presence, and you're supposed to be grateful that they cared enough to put their image in front of you. It's the only thing that makes sense. The repetitive jaw-dropping that real people like you and me do when we see this, and you know, everyone's like, it looks like a Chick-fil-A bag. It did look
like a
Chick-fil-A bag. And her message is tax the rich, and she is one of them. Mm-hmm. She might not consider herself one of them, but if you have a willing media, it does not matter. The same thing about Rose McGowan. If they turn the cameras off and if they don't give her the platform, it doesn't matter, which is why the media is the problem in the country. It's not the leftists who have whack ideas and the power to make them come to fruition. It's the media that makes them feel like they're mainstream and presents these people, AOC, to hardworking people like you right now sitting at your desk at work or going back to work from your lunch. You're trying to work your tail off. And AOC, she knows that when she says tax the rich, she's talking about you. And it's all, the end of it is all about her power. And because she's the most wonderful thing since sliced bread, she's okay with it. And the media subsidizes the entire thing. They are deranged narcissists. It's the only explanation. I'm serious.
No, you're right.
I'm not talking about
that's
you.
That's what Rose McGowan was saying, though. Yeah. She said they're all in on this. It's the media. It's entertainment. The problem is now it's politicians, too. Mm-hmm. At what point in the past would you see some random representative show up at the Met Gala? I mean, that's new.
Gala.
Oh, sorry. And we're mixing these things together
I went to
now.
The wrong event.
I mean, we mentioned like Newsom's French Laundry experiment,
it's
right?
It's crazy.
Obama's birthday bash from a month ago.
Nancy Pelosi
at the salon,
yes.
Of course.
It goes
the
on
9/11
and on.
Masks over the weekend. You saw them when the cameras were off. They weren't wearing masks. Cameras on. Oh, they're all wearing masks. That stuff is constant now. And Congress is exempt from the vaccine mandate. They don't care.
And the postal workers.
I think that they're a bunch of darn hypocrites.
We watch that language, Trisha. This is the Annie Fry Show now.
Hypocrites? Darn hypocrites.
Be careful.
Say it again.
I'll tell you what they are. Stick around on the YouTube webcam and I'll drop some things, some words on there. No, I won't. I'll feel bad. All right, stick around. When we come back, Paris Denard and Mark Cox in the 1 o'clock hour. And you weighing in here on the Facebook Live or the Annie Fry YouTube channel live. And Ryan, you're going to come back at 2 o'clock.
Yep.
All right, we'll see you then. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.